Morning, y'all. You doing all right? I'm excited about today. You know, this is the best Sunday of the year, the whole year. And you know, Jesus' people have greeted one another through the ages with a phrase, and then you're supposed to respond with the other phrase. Maybe you know it. He is risen. Okay, so some of us hearing it for the first time is kind of how we do it. So why don't you give your neighbor a holy fist bump and say, he is risen. And they'll tell you he is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. All right. All right. He is risen indeed. You know, did everyone get one of these? She got a pen and a card. Okay. If you didn't get one of those, wave at me. We'll get one to you. Anybody get missed? I see one right here. One right here. Okay. And there's some in the corner. The band didn't get one. Okay. So kind of make your way around. There's several in this corner back here, David and Neil. Okay. So you're going to need those. Don't put your name on it. Do write on it. But specifically, at any point in this service today that you think of something that burdens you, the burden you're carrying, write it down. Anything you wish you could be free from, write it down. Anything that breaks your heart in your life or in the lives of people you care about, jot that down. Any guilt you're carrying, write that down. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody but you and God. We're not going to look at these. It's between you and God. If for some reason you cannot bring yourself to actually write it down, that's okay. Like write the initials of it, okay? Or write the person's initials, or don't write anything, but you know what's on the card. Hold on to the card. Okay, everybody good? It's not at me if you're with me. Okay. Easter is the ultimate holiday. Did anyone else's wife make them wear a particular shirt today? All right. Okay. So today's message is about bullying. About bullying your husband into wearing certain shirts. Okay, no. When you see my wife, she's working with the kiddos, tell her this shirt looks so nice that I should wait until next Easter to bring it out again. It's kind of pink. Is it purple? Okay, purple is purple better than pink? Thanks, Nick. Nick is my fashion guru. He's my fashion advisor. So Nick's always a sharp-dressed man. ZZ Top wrote a song about him back in the day. So today is the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the day Jesus dethroned the devil, blew the doors off of death, and bought our freedom from everything that wants to enslave us. He set up a new covenant in his blood, which means we're no longer bound by the Old Testament law. We have a new covenant in him. It also means on this Easter Sunday, we can, with a guilt-free conscience, partake of ham. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. The carnivores in the room are pleased with that. Thank you for that. So, what a great day. I hate to mess it up with a controversial topic, though. Oh, I got a topic that divides households, okay? It will divide a parent against a child, brother against brother, wife against husband. It provokes love in some, hatred in others. A topic so divisive, we might have a fist fight break out right here in this room. I'm talking about bluegrass music. If you are from here originally, chances are you have some strong feelings one way or the other. Usually, you'll love it or you'll hate it. There's not a lot in between. If you were not from here originally, but you got here as quick as you can and you got introduced to this thing called bluegrass music, some people who come from outside areas are like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. Other people just say, oh my gosh, this is what? What is this? And don't warm up to it. The most confusion I ever saw in relation to bluegrass music happened in the city of Iquitos, Peru. And several members of the, two members of the mission team that we were on brought some instruments, okay? A guitar and a mandolin. And Ricky and Dan were going to play. I think Jenny was there that day, so you witnessed this, okay? I think. So this happened, right? Okay. So the guy who's our interpreter stands up and he introduces Ricky and Dan. It's a muggy Thursday night in the jungle city of Iquitos, Peru. And the interpreter says that Ricky and Dan are going to play, pray for my Spanish accent here, Evangelio de Hierba Azul. You know what that means? It literally means bluegrass gospel in a country where they've never heard of this. So you can see the wheels turning in their Peruvian minds as to say, do they have grass in America that's blue? And what does it have to do with the gospel? But they're very nice. They're very super nice people. So they start into this with this mandolin and a guitar. And if you're familiar at all with bluegrass music, you probably have an idea what happened pretty soon into the song. They stopped and started tuning their instruments. 10 seconds into the song, they just stop in the middle of everything and start tuning. Did not explain this to the Peruvians. The Peruvians did not know this was not part of the song, so far as I can tell. And they're looking around at each other saying, what is wrong with these Americans we have brought here? Americans are weird. And they finished up the song, and they clapped because they're nice. But that was the day the hillbillies from Virginia confused the Peruvians with bluegrass. It's not surprising they didn't understand. They had no exposure whatsoever to bluegrass. But what if they had? Okay. What if they had? What if bluegrass was like all over the place in Peru? What if it was live on the streets and on the radio and in movies and TV and fashion and art? What if people all around Peru wore a necklace with a fiddle on it, a golden fiddle that Johnny won down in Georgia and played bluegrass on? What if the people down in Peru walked around with T-shirts emblazoned with the face of Ralph Stanley and hung art on their walls with quotes from bluegrass songs, and they still didn't understand bluegrass? Wouldn't that be weird if they didn't understand the true meaning? So the subject I really want to talk about is not bluegrass, as much as I do like bluegrass. It's about a symbol you can find everywhere. People use it as a fashion statement, as a home decoration, as a good luck charm, as jewelry. People put it on shirts and bumper stickers and home decor and the flags of nations. People have an almost superstitious relationship with it and still miss what it's really about. And what is it that I'm talking about? Have you guessed it yet? The cross. The cross of Christ. It's a symbol that's everywhere but misunderstood. First of all, calm down. You don't have to give away your cross jewelry. I'm not telling you to give away, get rid of your cross necklace. That's fine. You don't have to go home and remove your decorations. You don't even have to get rid of that old affliction T-shirt that you've had for years and for some reason are holding on to still. Never quite understood that. I think I had one of those, but it didn't mean I understood it. My wife bought me that shirt too. I just want you to see the cross in a new way. Okay. What would you think if I told you there was a famous writer who called the cross an offense? What would you think of that writer? Someone said the cross was offensive. What kind of woke nonsense is that, preacher, calling the cross offensive? Would it make a difference if I told you that the writer who said that was the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul called the cross an offense. Well, we know there's more to that story, right? He was writing to a group of believers in the region of Galatia, and they had a major misunderstanding. They were treating this life of a Jesus follower like it was any other religion, right? Like it was like a normal religion. And in a religion, you follow the religious rules, you go through the religious ceremonies, and you try to do all these things as you're supposed to do, and you impress God into letting you into the club, I guess, or keeping you in the club. That's kind of a very broad brush to paint religion with, but more or less that's the case. You behave in the right way, and you're in. If you don't behave in the right way, you're not in. You got to impress God in order to pass the class. Paul tells them that if following Jesus is like that, then what was the point of the cross? what was the point of the persecution that he was suffering? If it was just another religion, because people were fine with religion, he wouldn't be persecuted for it. To the person who believes that their good behavior can get them into heaven, the cross is an offense. That's what Paul is saying in Galatians 5:11. So let's pull that up real quick. It's kind of our jumping off place here. He said, "And if I, brethren, still preach circumcision," which is, by the way, religion, "I still preach religious ceremony as the way to God. If I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased." Well, we know the offense of the cross has not ceased because he was still suffering persecution. What he's saying here is, I'm being persecuted because I preach the cross, not because I preach religion. If following Jesus was just about religion, there would be no offense. But since there's an offense, as evidenced by persecution, we know it's not about religion. So the cross is an offense. But I want to show you this. Next slide, please. This is the heart of it. No. There should be one that says the offense of the cross. There it is. The offense of the cross paid the cost. You're like, that's as closest to a rhyme as I could get. I'm sorry, English majors, I couldn't do a perfect rhyme. It's a near rhyme. The offense of the cross paid the cost. I want to stop there and pray. Heavenly Father, please right now in Jesus' name, open up our hearts and minds to you. Please speak in this hour, Lord, and help us to understand the offense of the cross and how we need to embrace it. In Jesus' name, amen. So a guy stands up for a congregation and says, the cross is offensive. I got to explain that now, right? I better explain that really, really good. So let's give it a try here. I'll give you three reasons why the cross is an offense. First of all, the cross is an offense to human will, to human willfulness, to our desire to determine our own way. Okay. I'm trying to look through here. A lot of y'all were here for the 90s, right? Anybody like in school in the 90s? Okay, I was in school in the 90s. Do you remember the No Fear t-shirts? It was a wild time for t-shirts back in the 90s. It was like, what's the biggest lettering we can put on a shirt, okay, and it not be obnoxious? Well, they failed because it was super obnoxious. It was just big words. Had these No Fear t-shirts, okay. They unironically made some statements. This is the funniest part is this wasn't a joke, okay? This wasn't like they were ironically saying these things that's on this shirt. They were like being serious because we were so tough in the 90s. My mama never bought me one of these shirts. Thank you, Mom, because I'd have to be making fun of myself. And I'll find something else to make fun of myself on. They unironically proclaimed such bold statements as this. If you're not living on the edge, then you're taking up too much space. Second one was, second place is the first loser. I'm trying to say it in a 90s bully voice. Oh, get this one. Okay, I want to emphasize again, this was not a joke. This was being serious. And I quote, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I'm tough. I'm an animal, and I will eat you if I have to. No fear. If you're really that kind of tough, do we need a t-shirt to inform us? Calm down, bruh. You're in middle school. You're in eighth grade. Your mama still schedules your haircuts. You barely know how to use deodorant. Eat your tater tots and chill out. Have a moon pie. Stop annoying people. Now, of course, the Jesus kids, we had our own t-shirt, right? Okay, 90s Jesus kids. Ours didn't say no fear. Ours said fear not, because we were more spiritual than the not in Jesus kids. And we said we're not afraid either, but because of Jesus. Not because we'll eat you and weird stuff like that. So it was like an identity. I mean, it's a joke now. Okay. You know, middle school is a weird time anyway. Middle schoolers should not be allowed to pick their own clothes, really. No offense, middle schoolers. Elijah, don't act like your mama didn't suggest a shirt that you're wearing too. So just keeping it real, brother. It was an identity, okay, to wear this was an identity. I'm so tough, you know. An identity, a brand, you know, no fear, fear not. You know, today we have Nike, Gucci, whatever, all that other stuff. It's not in my budget. But also an identity, the cross is an identity too. But it's more than fashion, okay? It's more than decoration. It's more than jewelry. It's more than like a good luck charm. Because, you know, I guess I've been guilty before of kind of like thinking of a cross as like a good luck charm, like a lucky rabbit's foot, which I never understood the rabbit's foot thing. Why is that supposed to be lucky? The rabbit had four of them. And I don't think they grow back. So how lucky could it have been that at a minimum he's lost one foot? Okay, it was not lucky for the rabbit. I don't understand that. The cross is not those things. It's identification with Jesus. We do like to identify with Jesus. We like, human nature is to identify with some kind of power, okay? Something powerful, because we want to feel powerful. The cross, though, I'm going to offer to you right now this thought. Is the cross truly a symbol of power? Think about it. The cross is maybe even more a symbol of humility. Philippians 2:8 said that Jesus, who has all power, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Before the cross became linked to Jesus, it was an execution device. Only the lowest and the worst of criminals were crucified. It was a horrible, humiliating, lengthy way to die. So the cross is a symbol not just of power, but of powerful surrendering of oneself for the good of others. The cross is not a symbol of self-will, but of willingness to give up self. The cross is offensive to self-will. The cross is an offense, but it's the offense of the cross paid the cost. You see, Jesus, to follow Jesus is to do like Jesus, to take up your cross. To take up your cross means you no longer live for yourself. It's a surrender to the authority of God, as Jesus surrendered to the authority of God and allowed himself to be crucified. He didn't have to let that happen because he had all the power of God, but he allowed it to happen because he was surrendering to the will of God for him. If you take up the cross, it means you give up your life like Jesus did. Now, human nature doesn't like that. Human nature, we don't want to give up our life or give up anything that is for us. Human will, human nature wants its own way. So the cross is offensive to human nature. I'm telling you here, if you decide to follow Jesus, you're signing up for a life lived for him, not for you. If you just sign it up, you say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, and you just want it because you're like, hey, I'd like God to like put his stamp of endorsement on my plans. Man, that ain't it. That ain't it. He's got a whole other set of plans for you, and they're much better. Okay, so the cross is offensive to human will. The cross is also offensive to human pride. Now remember the context for Paul telling the Galatians that the cross is an offense because they were trying to turn this Jesus life into a religion. We like the idea that we earn it. When we've done something good, that's why we make trophies. And we bring home, like from kindergarten, we bring home the paper from school with the smiley face on it and say, look what I've done. And, you know, and the parents are like, yes, let's add that to the fridge. And a dirty little secret of parents, kids, just forgive your parents for this. We try to save all those things, but we can't save them all, okay? We just can't save them all. You try to take a picture. Katie started, like, taking pictures of the kids' art, which was her way of throwing it away. She said, I'm keeping it forever in digital form. Trash. So somebody's got to be that person. That's okay. People love to think that we can earn it, that we're a good person. Man, the world is full of people who think they're good and that God is lucky to have them on Team Jesus. Good high five, God. I'm on your team. But whether that self-will, that pride is misplaced, y'all. The cross was only necessary because we couldn't earn it. If we could be good enough on our own, why would Jesus die on the cross? We cannot save ourselves. We need the blood of Jesus. When Katie, some of you guys were around or know the story of my wife Katie, that she had a horrible internal bleed quite a few years ago now. She lost 7 units of blood into her abdomen. 7 units. I ain't a doctor, but that's about half of all the blood a person is supposed to have. So when they opened her up, it looked like a bomb went off, literally. Galax didn't even sew her up. They called the helicopter, and they called me into a little room, and they wouldn't tell me if she was going to live or die. It was pretty horrible. She had to have blood immediately, or she would have died. She needed an immediate transfusion. Let me tell you what did not happen that day. Here's what did not happen. The nurse did not come out to me in the waiting room and say, "Mr. Shockley, as you know, your wife's in bad shape. She really needs a transfusion, and we have some blood on hand. But first, I have this questionnaire that I need to go through with you just to make sure that she is, you know, that we're giving blood to a person who deserves it. So tell me, does Catherine give to charity? Okay, check. Does she tip her waitress?" "Yeah, she used to be a waitress, so I tip waitresses really good too because I married one." "Check. Does she chew quietly and with her mouth closed?" "Yes." "Okay. When the toilet paper roll has one little sheet left on it, does she go ahead and change the roll or does she leave it for the next guy?" "Sometimes." "Okay, mark that." "All right, sometimes." "Does she spool the toilet paper on the roll in the proper overhand fashion, except for homes with cats where you have to do it the other way?" "Sorry for all the questions, Mr. Shockley. We just got to make sure that she's worthy of a blood transfusion." Did that happen? None of that happened. Someone who needs a blood transfusion is not in a shape to prove their worthiness, okay? They're usually in bad condition, maybe not conscious at all. A person who needs blood cannot show their worth. They can only receive it. Understand, please, that you and I need a gift of blood as well. And there's not a thing we can do to earn it or receive it. Jesus did what we could not do. We cannot buy salvation with our behavior. He can only buy it with his blood. Let me say this clearly. You should try to be a good person, okay? That's better than being a bad person. Don't be a jerk. That's a good rule for life. That's not one of the Ten Commandments, but I think it fits. Don't be a jerk. That's good. We all appreciate you for that. You know, it's kind of like wear deodorant. We all appreciate you for that. You know, it's not for you. It's for everyone else. Used to do prison ministry, and I found out that those guys gambled with deodorant inside. They would play cards, and they would use deodorant as a gamble. And I said, "Hey, brother, if you win and you take all his deodorant, doesn't everybody actually lose?" I don't think he picked up on what I was laying down. It just seems like a loss for everyone. You should try to do the good and right things, but understand, God does not measure goodness the way we measure goodness. We measure goodness by looking around and saying, you know, there's people a lot worse than me. Hey, everybody's got that family member, okay? Everybody's got that family member. Everybody's got that neighbor. As I've said before, this is Carroll County, Virginia. This is Southwest Virginia. There's a meth lab in your neighborhood, and you might know who lives there, okay? You can always say, "I'm better than so-and-so," but God does not measure us by other people. He measures us by Jesus, the only one who was ever perfect. God's standard isn't other people. It is not our measure of morality. It is perfection, and only one ever lived a perfect life, and he gave his life for people like us, the perfect for the imperfect. God does not want more religious people. There's plenty of religious people, and the religious people are missing the point. The cross isn't about religion. It's about the sacrifice of Jesus to do what we couldn't do. The cross is an offense to human pride. It's an offense to religious pride because it's evidence that we cannot save ourselves. And if we could have saved ourselves, it would have never happened. The cross wouldn't have happened. God is looking for people who will let go of trust in themselves and put their trust in Jesus. The offense of the cross paid the cost. You still got your little cards here? You write anything down on it? Write some stuff down on that if you haven't. You know, what's the burden you got? Or know what should go on the card, okay? If you don't write it down, know what should go on the card. I got one more for you. The cross is offensive to human reason. What do you know about Galileo? I thought somebody would hit that one. What do you know about Galileo? Gosh, okay. I want to do this one more time. There's no Queen fans in the room. What do you know about Galileo? Thank you. Here's what we know about Galileo. He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity. Well, before Freddie Mercury got a hold of Galileo, he was a scientist and a believer, not a perfect believer, but a believer in Jesus who dared to challenge the assumptions around him. He lived in a time where the scientific assumption was that the earth was the center of the universe and everything revolved around the earth. And he said, no, wait, how about you think of these things? It really seems like the earth is moving around the sun, and the sun is at the center, at least, of our solar system. And so he challenged the common understanding of the way the world worked. And how was he received? Not good. They put him under house arrest for the rest of his life. And it was the religious authorities that did that. By the way, real faithful faith in Jesus and the Word of God is not incompatible with science. I think they get along really good. I'd love to talk to you about that sometime. I don't think we have to drop our brains in a bucket at the door when we walk into this room. So Galileo challenged the assumptions, and he was treated as an offender. You understand the cross challenges assumptions of our culture as well. The cross challenges our common understanding. The cross challenges the assumption that we don't need anybody, and instead shows us that we need God, we need Jesus, and we need a community. You need people. You may not always enjoy the company of people, but you got to have some people. The cross challenges the assumption that happiness comes from material wealth and possessions, and instead shows us that true joy comes from inner spiritual peace. The cross challenges the assumption that power comes from the ability to dominate others. Jesus came along and showed that power and influence is in the ability to serve others. The cross challenges the idea that peace and fulfillment comes through the indulgence of desires. That's what our culture says. Just, you know, do everything you can that you want to do. And instead shows us that real peace and fulfillment is not in indulging ourselves, but in being a part of a higher, bigger plan and a higher power. The cross challenges the assumption that the pursuit of immediate gratification will bring lasting satisfaction, and shows us that true meaning and fulfillment comes from living for eternity rather than living for the moment. The cross challenges the assumption that a person's worth is tied to their bank account or their social status or what they can contribute to the world, and shows us that every single human life has dignity and worth and is loved by God. And that's a good time for us to remember our motto. We didn't start out with it. I've been saving it, okay? Help me to share our motto with the world. No matter your story, you are welcome, you are wanted, and you are loved by God and by us. Because you are a person of value. Not because someone else said so, but because God made you. And He likes you. He may not be able to approve of everything you got going on in your life, but He loves you. He likes you. He wants you in His family. Look, all of this stuff goes against the human reason of modern times, all right? The cross seems to be foolishness to the modern world. Here's 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Man, you're trying to share your faith with people you care about, and they're not there yet. Don't let it hurt your feelings that they don't get it, okay? They're not going to get it yet. Keep living consistently. Keep on. Don't give up. Don't become obnoxious or anything, but just keep living it and keep loving them. And eventually, the Holy Spirit's going to break through, okay? Because right now, they can't always get it until the Holy Spirit starts working in their heart, because it looks like foolishness. Faith in Jesus looks foolish from the outside, but it's not at all. It challenges your assumptions on how the world should work, which is like, that sounds kind of like what science is, right? Challenging the assumptions that we have. Isn't that a big element of science? It challenges the values of the culture around us, and that makes it offensive. I'm going to tell you right now, if you live for Jesus and stand on his truth, you won't have to try to be offensive. You won't have to say mean things. You won't have to go out of your way to stir people up. You won't have to post stuff on social media. You won't have to protest anything. You won't have to get in anybody's face. Your life will be a challenge to human reason, just like the cross is a challenge to human reason. The cross shows us that we cannot blindly believe everything the culture teaches. In a world that loves lies, living for the truth is the most edgy, nonconformist thing that you can do. The cross is offensive, but in a good way. The offense of the cross paid the cost. If you put that slide up there, the offense of the cross paid the cost. Look, the Lord doesn't say, y'all better straighten up, or I won't let you in the Jesus club. What he says is, come unto me, all who are weary and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. I'm looking around this room. Some of you I know real well. Some of them I know a little bit. Some of them I'm just getting to know. So I don't know all your stories, but I know this. Every single person carried burdens into this room. Things that hurt them, things that bother them. Jesus said he's the one who will take your burden. He'll give you relief. He'll give you rest. He'll give you freedom, forgiveness, salvation. And that is good news. We have got a couple more verses here. Colossians 2, 13 through 14. And you being dead in your trespasses, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out all the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. So we're going to proclaim this in a visual way, in a tactile way today. So you got your paper, right? You've been writing stuff on it, or you at least know what should go on it, okay? In just a minute, I'm going to give you a little more time to put something on that. Then we're going to take those up. I want to emphasize we're not looking at these, okay? This is between you and God. Nobody's looking at these. We'll destroy them afterwards, okay? What I'm going to get you to do, when the music starts, finish writing down whatever needs to be on there and fold it in half. And I got a couple of guys who are going to come around. You just kind of pass them to the middle. And we're going to nail them to the cross. That's what we're going to do to finish up this service. Go ahead, Janiyah, and play that. So just take a moment. Take a moment. And we'll pass them kind of towards the middle when we're done. Just take a minute. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. Praise God for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Praise God that 3 days later he came out of the tomb. And if we'll place our faith in him, we can be saved and forgiven and given a new life. What burdens are you carrying? They're nailed to the cross. Let them go. God cares. He loves you right where he is, right where you are. He loves you right there. Praise God for the offense of the cross that sets us free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus for us. Thank you so much for his resurrection. Lord, thank you that we can be free from the things that hurt us and burden us and threaten to enslave us. God, I want to pray for every one of us that everyone would trust in Jesus and be saved and trust in you forever. Lord, thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so glad you were here. We prayed for you to be here. I prayed specifically God will bring every single person who's supposed to be here, and you're the answer to my prayers. God bless you this week. I hope you have a wonderful day. Think about what Jesus has done for you. If you've never trusted in Jesus as Savior, pray over that. seek the Lord, cry out to him, and be saved. All right. God bless you. Take care.